to share a message with you. The importance of the influence of a mother in a child's life is something that cannot be overemphasized. And we all are a result of the influence of people in our lives. And those of us who are so fortunate to have had a godly mother like myself, we're the product of their sacrifice, the product of their emphasis. And I challenge you, everyone listening, mothers especially, to be that kind of Christian godly mother. The work that God's called you to do is the greatest work on earth. I've read and saw several things regarding mothers, and a few things that kind of strike my fancy. I thought it was interesting. Abraham Lincoln's mother died when I believe he's about 9 years old. But Abraham Lincoln said of his mother, he said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my darling mother." The influence of a mother is rich and pure, and that's exciting to think about. I'm thinking about D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody, his mother, when he was 13 or 14 years old, told him that he was going to have to leave home. She didn't have enough money or food to feed him. He was going to have to leave home and get a job. But he said of his mother, "All that I've ever accomplished in life, I owe to my mother." And mothers play a vital role in a way that only the evangelist Billy Sunday could say. He said something I thought quite interesting. You have to think about the time frame and the air in which he said it. But he said this. He said, "Fooling away your time, hugging and kissing a poodle dog, caressing a spitz, drinking society brandy mash and a cocktail, and playing cards is mighty small business compared to molding the life of a child." Isn't it fascinating? He was right. There's nothing that we could commit our lives to that'd be of greater importance than the work of a mother. Someone said it like this, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." Folks, I want you to know we live in a difficult, unusual time. And never before in the history of man was it more important that faithful, godly people, specifically in our subject matter for today, mothers, never been a more important time for us to invest in the lives of children. And God has given the role of a mother, and it is the most honorable position. It's the most honorable role. There's no greater calling than the calling of a mother. May God help us never to allow anyone or any idea of society to somehow degrade or demean the most important position in the home, the mother. We come today in our Bibles, Exodus chapter number 2. You can about begin to guess, those of you who have an understanding of the Bible, what mother we're going to talk about today. And today's message is simply titled, Moses' Mother. Moses' Mother. Well, God used Moses' mother in a mighty way. If I were to ask you or to poll the audience, how many of you can tell me Moses' mother's name? It wasn't very popular. As a matter of fact, you've got to go to another place in Scripture to find it. How many of you can tell me Moses' mother's name? On the count of three, say it. One, two, three. How many of you said it? I got one. Did y'all say it over here? Huh? I think not. I got one out of five, I think. Yeah, David got it right. He gets a hanging basket. Jochebed. That's right. Jochebed is her name. Moses' father's name is Amram. But Jochebed is a woman that God used in a very, very special way, a wonderful way, a mighty way. Her efforts and her work played a very vital role in the entire nation of Israel being delivered from Egyptian bondage. That's how much the role of a mother is emphasized in the Scriptures. Today's message, Moses' mother. Look with me in the Bible, Exodus chapter number 2. We'll read together here the story of Moses' mother. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, She hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. And her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Today's message, Moses' mother. And just by way of introduction, I want to let you see, and I want you to look at it with me, and I want you to paint a picture in your mind's eye of the situation that Moses was born into. The Bible says in verse 1, "There went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." We have the story of a young couple. I'd like to emphasize their age. They were newly married. They were newly with child. And I want you to know something. Amram and Jochebed began to serve the Lord with their lives at a very young age. I believe it's part of our society, and it's a teaching that is erroneous and should be snuffed out in our mind, that church and the faithfulness to God and faithfulness to service to God, a dedicated life in Christian service. Some people believe that's for old people. I want you to know something. It's for all people. It's for children. It's for teens. It's for young adults. It's for newly married. It's for middle-aged people. It's for old people. The service of our King and our Savior and God is for all people. And I think the most important thing that a young married couple could possibly do is to faithfully commit to serve God in a local church. To faithfully determine that they will make Jesus the Lord of their home and their hearts and their marriage. To faithfully commit to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Amram and Jochebed attempting to have a home and a family as slaves in Egypt and raise a child, determined they would raise that child and dedicate their lives and homes to faithful service to Jehovah God. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. They said, "If we're going to have a home, we're going to do it right." Now, they lived in a difficult time. Some folks like to look back and with rose-colored glasses on the past and think about, "Oh, if I were raising children back then, you know, it wouldn't be a problem." Well, I want you to be reminded of the situation that Moses was born into. Moses was born to slaves in Egypt. And the Egyptians, specifically the Pharaoh, they were very concerned about the Israelites. Their slaves, the Israelites, were really flourishing. And the Bible says that God was blessing them. And the Egyptians decided, "We can't do without them because they do all of our work. And so what we need to do is we need to oppress them and keep them under our thumbs." They didn't want these people to live free, and they didn't want these people to have liberty, which is always a sign of wickedness. God created us all free. They didn't want them to have liberty and freedom, so the rulers, the politicians, and the Egyptians, specifically the Pharaoh, said, "Let's just make them hard slaves. Let's make their work terrible. But the harder they worked them, the more they multiplied, and Israel was on the rise. And so Pharaoh came out with an evil decree. His burden was for power more than truth and righteousness. His burden was for authority more than the individual freedoms of people, God's created people. And so he said, I know what we'll do. Every man child that's born to the Egyptians, he has to be killed. He has to be thrown in the river and eaten by crocodiles. He even attempted to put on his payroll people like the midwives, Phurah and Shiphrah, in order to kill the babies. I mean, Pharaoh was pretty smart in one end. He knew that if the children are killed, then the influence of the future is over. May this be a strong lesson to God's people today. If we kill the children, the opportunities for the future are bleak. But I want you to know something. In spite of the common thing, in spite of the laws of the land, in spite of the fear of oppression, there's a young couple, and specifically a little mother. Her name was Jochebed. And she determined that she would be different. That she'd stand out of the fray. And that she would influence the life of a child in such a way that he could be used to change the world for the glory of God, for the better of society. Moses' mother. First thing I want you to see in this story is her human best. Something about Jochebed that is something that we need to take home with us is the fact that Jochebed did everything in her power to raise this child for the glory of God. The Bible says in verse 1, "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." Now at this time there was an edict that had gone out from the Pharaoh that all the Israelite boys that were born had to be put to death. And Amram and Jochebed said, not ours. Not a chance. And so they began the process, and no doubt a grueling process, of raising a child in a wicked society. It was stressful, yes. It was difficult, yes. But they were committed to give it their all. What did they do? She did her human best. She hid him for 3 months. Discipline was part of the home. They worked diligently to meet the needs of the child. Every time he cried out, they were fearful. But Amram and Jochebed, what did they do? They did their human best. Folks, I want you to know something. Effort given to influence the lives of children is very important. We should be diligent. We should be faithful in influencing and investing in the lives of our children. There's no greater heritage, no greater treasure that God has given us than the lives and influence of our children. We should do our human best. It should be part of our structure as people that we give toward enriching our children. Our time and our influence should be dedicated to our children. We don't want to make little brats out of them, but we certainly want to fill them with truth, consistency, and raise them to do the work that God has designed. Do you know that every time God has a problem, he sends a child? The nation of Israel need to be released from Egyptian bondage, and God sends Moses. We could go through child after child after child after child in the Bible. When the whole world needed forgiveness of sin, He sent a baby to a manger in Bethlehem. And as we look at the children that God has entrusted us with, may we be determined to do our human best to stand in opposition to the temptation of culture, to turn them over to the influence of the world. May we raise to the best of our ability, with the greatest of our effort and energies, may we influence our children. She gave her human best. But I want you to know something, and it's something that Christian people should come to grips with. Her situation was helpless. Do you know that your effort only goes so far? The best that we have to offer is not good enough. People don't like to hear that, but quite frankly, I can work as hard as I want to all my life, and eventually I'm going to die. It's not because I'm not trying. It's because I'm a human. And my ability is limited. Folks live in an unusual state of mind, thinking somehow that if they'll think it positively, it can all happen. But the truth of the matter is, we all have shortcomings. We all have limitations. But I'll have you know something. We have a limitless God. You see, we see her human best. She did everything she could. But then she met up with her helpless state, the Bible says in verse number 3, and when she could not longer hide him. What happened? It came a point where I can't do this anymore. And I'll just tell you, if you've ever given any effort to raising children and you've been honest about it, you understand and you look into the future and you look into the lives of your children, and there's a certain things that you cannot do. I'm thinking about raising my own children. And I can guarantee you I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to give it my best. But when I think about their futures, there's a lot of things out of my control. And in light of the fact that I am helpless, and she said, Jochebed said, I can't do this anymore. He cries too loud. He cries too often. The authorities are getting too close. What am I going to do? Can you imagine the heart and the grief of that little mother when she realized, I can't do this anymore? Here's the exciting thing. All of us come to those moments where they, I can't do it. But God doesn't leave us helpless. You see, her helplessness brought her to a place where she knew that she could trust in God. You know, in this society at that time, there were people in the nation of Egypt who were believing God and people who weren't. Some of the families around there were looking at their children saying, oh, this is a terrible time to have a child. I think about this often. But, you know, there were two boys that were born sometime in this time period. Around the same time that Moses was born. One of them's name was Joshua. You remember Joshua? There's a whole book of the Bible written about him. He was faithful, and God used him in a mighty way. But Joshua's parents, they were an interesting group of folks. They looked at that child, and they were slaves in Egypt. Things were awful. Pharaoh had already began to really crank down on them. But Joseph's parents, you know what they, I'm sorry, Joshua's parents, you know what they said? That baby was born, and they said, we're going to name you Joshua. You know what his name means? Jehovah is salvation. You know what those parents said? Hey, it's a difficult time to raise children, but if there's any hope for our society, it's wrapped up in this baby. Jehovah, God is our salvation, and he sent us a child. There was another family in the same town, and they named their son Caleb. Now, I want you to know something. This is encouraging. Caleb was born to a faithless family, but God used him, and God blessed him. Anyway, I just can't help but wonder who influenced Caleb along the way. But you know what his daddy said when he looked at him? He looked at him and says, your name's Caleb. Do you know what it means? Dog. He said, it's a dog's life that you're born into. You know what I hear? I hear people say, well, I tell you what, I'd hate to have to raise kids in this day and age. And you know what I say? You're wrong. Jehovah is salvation. And there's a hope. And I'll just have you know something. Mothers, fathers, grandparents, if you'll raise a real man in 2020, You'll raise a rare gem, and there's something and someone right there, a child in your home that you're influencing today that can change the world for the glory of God and help who knows how many people. And if you'll raise a real godly woman in your home, you have a jewel and a treasure that can change the world. May God help us. You see, it was her human best that made the difference. She was full of character and grit. But when she met her helpless state, it brings her to this. She moved her emphasis to a labor of faith. You see, she did all she could physically. She rocked the baby every time he cried. Made sure he stayed fed. Changed his schedule so it would be the best possible. But when she realized, I can't hide him anymore, you know what she did? She turned her efforts and began to serve her child by serving her God. She began to do something, a labor of faith. She began to emphasize something that only God could do. Here's her labor of faith. The Bible says she could not, verse 3, longer hide him. She took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in flags by the river's brink. What'd she do? She said, I can't take care of him anymore. God's going to have to take care of him. And never before has there been a basket put together so strategically and carefully. I can imagine that night as she put together her basket of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and pitch, made it waterproof. I can see the teardrops falling into it. I can see the care and compassion and love. And I look at this basket that she's going to put Moses in, and I can't help but reminds me of the work that mothers do and the work that Christian people do spiritually, investing in the lives of their children. Oh, the first and most important thing that we should do as we make the spiritual basket for our children to be safely nurtured in. Do you know what parents need to do? We need to build the basket of Christian consistency. Hey, I want you to know something. There's a chance that your child will grow up and turn its back on God because it's seen no consistency in the life of its mother or father. You say one thing, you do another. You profess to be a Christian, yet you forsake the Word of God, the house of God. You partake in things that are an abomination to God. I'll tell you something, as she worked this spiritual work, her labor of faith, she was consistent in her character and godliness. I pray that you'll labor in faith. She was trusting God. She was doing something. She was giving her child to God. I'll have you know something, in Jochebed's life, there was nothing more important than the work of God, her faith in God. May God help us to labor and labor in faith. She did this, built this basket, knowing that she was going to have to give her child to God because there's only so much she could do. Her labor of faith. And finally, her faithful Lord. I want you to know something. Without fail, when you commit your way to the Lord, He meets your need. When you wait on the Lord, when you make God your priority, then you have the promise that God's going to meet your need. Look what happens. She found the Lord faithful. I love this story. It came to a point where she could do nothing else but trust the Lord, and that's a good place to be. And the Bible says this story goes like this, verse number 4. She laid it, verse number 3, she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Verse number 4, his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river. and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her and her maid to fetch it. The first thing we see is, instead of being opposed, Pharaoh's daughter was fascinated and went to see what was going on. The Bible says in verse 6, and when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. What a strategic cry. I can't help but think that God reached down from heaven and pinched Moses, the perfect moment. And the cry from that child melted her heathen heart. Only God can do that. God was faithful. Not only that, but the Bible says in verse 7 that she had compassion on him. In verse 7, then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter. Moses' sister was standing there right on time. How many of you would trust a little girl to take care of the biggest business in the world? Your child? Most of us wouldn't. But I want you to know something. God can use unusual circumstances and do things that are out of the ordinary in order to help us with our children. This little girl, Moses' sister, speaks up to Pharaoh's daughter and says, "Shall I go to thee and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. Guess what happened? Old Jochebed got Moses right back. Isn't God wonderful? God was faithful to her. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I'll give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. What happened? God was faithful. God was faithful. What did God do with Moses? Sure, Moses was nursed up by his mother and then subjected to the world and the wickedness of Pharaoh's house. But the work that God began to do in Moses' heart, it never went out. And to make a long story very short, it takes about 80 years. But Moses walks back into Egypt and demands to Pharaoh that he set his people free. And God used this baby raised by a faithful mother to set the nation of Israel free from Egyptian bondage and lead them on the way to the promised land. Now, folks, every child that is in your possession is a gift from God. Every moment of that child's life is an opportunity for us to influence him for the cause of Christ and the glory of God. And my call to mothers and fathers and the church and grandparents and all Christian people is this. May God help us to instill in the lives of these children a love for God, a heart to do what's right, godly consistency, principled lives. May God help us to take the treasure that He's given us and invest in it. Because Moses' mother, oh, she did a mighty thing. Didn't God use her? Here's what's exciting to me. God gives us the same opportunity. Will you give your best, your human best? And when you realize your helpless state, will you rest again in a faithful God? Will you labor in consistency and godliness and let God do a great work in the lives of your children? Oh, I thank you for being a mother. The work that God's called you to do is amazing. Embrace it, love it, rejoice in it, And I ask God to help us and help you raise up a child for the glory of God. Oh, there's just no telling. This is not a bad time to raise a child. This is a great time to raise a child. And we should praise God for everyone that's born. And may God help us to influence those children for the glory of God.